Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church. Maybe you saw the headline, Fox News, pink Ouija board. I'm trying to picture what that would look like. Pink Ouija board targeting young girls riles critics. Harmless board game, a portal to the nether regions. What is it and why are some concerned? Look, it's been around since 1967, the Ouija board. And most people have either seen one or at one point in time had one. Many grandparents feeling nostalgic for their baby boomer childhood want to give one to their grandkids. What's wrong with it? Gretchen Pasentino joins us to talk about the marketing of Ouija boards to young girls. Gretchen is co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California. Hi, Gretchen.
Well, hi, Pastor Todd. It's always good to talk with you and your listeners.
Would you give one to a granddaughter or grandson?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't give them a Ouija board. I wouldn't give them a candy cigarette or a fake hypodermic and some crack or a Playboy magazine. You know, anything that turns our eyes away from Christ, that tempts us to indulge the flesh, that promises to give us what God has forbidden, all Christians should reject, whether for ourselves or for our loved ones, and especially for the children who have been put in our care, whether they're children or grandchildren.
Many Christians have a kind of a special place in their disdain for the Ouija board. They view it as undeniably a portal to the netherworld, to a spiritual realm that's dangerous to all. What are your thoughts there?
You know, there are some good arguments made on the one hand that it definitely falls into the classification of what the Bible calls divination. That is, using occult or secret means to obtain secret knowledge against or without God's will. Whether it's looking at the gizzard of a chicken or trying to have some sort of a supernatural interpretation of a dream, or using something like a Ouija board, a spirit writer, or something like that. That kind of divination is expressly forbidden in the Bible and is associated with the demonic. Whether the Ouija board falls directly into that classification in a spiritual power sense, or whether it is merely a toy doing an imitation, I think is the wrong question to argue. The right question to argue is, does using something like this promote spiritual health, or does it degrade spiritual health? And there can be only one answer to that question, which is by reinforcing the idea that whatever you can achieve is allowable, even if God has forbidden it, that's okay. That is not okay. God has said that in Deuteronomy 32:39 that the secret things belong to Him, but what He has revealed to us belongs to us and to all of our generations. Whether a demon is imposing its will on a Ouija board, or subliminal subconscious movement of kids' hands is dictating what the Ouija board spells out, in both cases, they are looking for a magical answer to the world instead of the real answer to the world, which is Jesus Christ.
Someone would say, look, this is, okay, just the harmless product of the kind of mid-60s fascination with spiritual matters. It's made its way either via nostalgia or just sheer selling power into the 21st century. And turning it pink and marketing to young children is no different than bringing Barbie back or any other kind of toy from the 60s that we all loved as baby boomer children, reintroducing it to our grandkids.
Well, I might even have a problem with Barbie as far as her absolutely unrealistic figure and her obsession with material possessions and feeling incomplete without Ken. But, you know, even leaving Barbie aside and saying that that may be a fairly neutral thing, the Ouija board is not a neutral thing. It is reinforcing the idea that you can achieve supernatural knowledge through supernatural means totally disassociated from submission to the true God of the Bible. I'll tell you a story. My oldest daughter was a young teenager, and a friend of hers for a birthday gave her earrings in the shape of a peace sign. And the peace sign was actually started by the anti-nuclear armament movement in the 1950s, but a lot of people associate it with an occultic or demonic symbol meant to be making fun of the cross or mocking the cross, an upside-down cross with the arms broken. And so, you know, we told our daughter, no, you can't wear those earrings. It sends the wrong message. And we told her about the history of it and had people's association with it, with a broken cross and an anti-Christian, anti-redemption meaning. And she said, but that's not what I mean by it. What I mean by it is that Jesus is not on the cross anymore. We don't need the cross anymore because Jesus has already accomplished the cross and he saved us. So that's what I mean by it. And I said, well, you know, if that's what you want to mean by those earrings, that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to assume that you're being honest with me and this is what you really mean. If you can figure out a way to communicate that message with them every time you wear them in public, go right ahead. But if you can't, then you shouldn't wear them because you're giving the wrong message. And that's what I would say about the Ouija board. If you want to take it in its most innocent form as just a toy, just a game, or in its most serious, most dangerous form as a connection with the demonic, with spiritual wickedness, in either way, it's sending the wrong message. It's saying, whatever I can achieve, I should be able to have, instead of not my will, Lord, but yours.
Okay, let's talk about genuine, bona fide, uncontested cases of divination or this kind of goes into the practice of the occult. Why is it forbidden in Holy Scripture? What exactly is forbidden by way of practice, or is it that specific in Holy Scripture?
Well, Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 18 are two passages in Moses' books, the first five books of the Old Testament, that tell us specifically that attempting to discern God's will or attempting to discern the future apart from prayer, but instead in some sort of a magical way, is condemned by God. It is not surrendering to God's will, but is trying to force God's will through some other means. In the prophets, we have Isaiah 8, 19, Isaiah 19, 3, Isaiah 3, 2, Jeremiah and Ezekiel also have passages that specifically exclude divination. Now, they don't exclude prayer. They don't exclude prophecy. They don't exclude God revealing something to someone. But in those instances, God has the initiative, God has the authority, and the recipient's job is to surrender to God, not to force God or prod God or work around God's will. Divination is excluding God's power from the equation. Prophecy or prayer is surrendering to God's power.
So I'm trying to get at the essence of the offense is seeking things that either God has not revealed or seeking them apart from the divine revelation that God
definitely
has given.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
So this is a command, a series of commands that really are centered upon the right use of God's word.
Yes, definitely. You know, 1 Timothy tells us that God's word has everything that we need for spiritual maturity, for empowerment to live a consecrated Christian life in this world. Jesus Christ is the one who reconciles us to God. He's the one who provides the path to eternal life. You want to know what the future is going to be like? Look at the Bible. You want to know what God wants in your own life? Pray and listen for his voice. We receive from God when we're open to receiving from God. When we try to do an end run around God or we try to figure out things against God's will, we incur God's judgment, not God's blessing.
You'll probably lose all respect for me, but last night I was sitting at home. Snowstorm was ensuing here. My wife and I were watching The Bachelor. So I make my admission to you right now, hoping that I can retain some shred of your respect for me, Gretchen. But we were watching this thing, and it was kind of odd at the end of
okay, I watched Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Okay. That kind of fits with your personality. That's interesting. In any event, after the show is over, they're kind of showing outtakes from the in the time that's left over during the rolling of the credits. And one of the outtakes was this handsome young bachelor sitting with one of his prospective wives. Don't ask me how to explain it. Mother, maybe perhaps his mother-in-law. And what they'd outtaked was this woman wanting to do his card reading. She had a stack of tarot cards. And you could kind of see on the young man's face that he wasn't taking it seriously. He wasn't really even, probably didn't approve of it. He seems pretty decent guy. What's behind this? Flipping cards and trying to tell someone's future or gain some insight into the person?
Well, tarot cards are very, very old. In fact, some say that they predate playing cards. In fact, that's one reason some Christians think that using playing cards in any form is ungodly. Tarot cards are based on the assumption that your life is predetermined by non-personal determinism, not that God has a wonderful plan for your life and he loves you and he sent Jesus to die for you, but instead that there are things in the physical universe that inexorably determine every moment of your life. If somehow we can discover those things, whether through tarot cards or tea leaf reading or palm reading or astrology or any other form of divination, then somehow you can know the truth. I'll give you another story from one of my kids.
We'll hold the story for the other side of the break, because I love Gretchen's stories. And when we come back, we'll get the whole story. Don't have time for it now before our break. We're talking with Gretchen Pasentino, co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Our conversation, the marketing of Ouija boards to young girls. They just paint them pink and put them back on the shelves and people buy them. It's Tuesday afternoon, February the 9th. What do you think about Ouija boards? Have you ever used one, owned one? Do you agree or disagree with Gretchen Pasentino? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us @issuesetc. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super being, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound. The voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you can do all things, your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Ouija boards and the marketing of Ouija boards to young girls, along with other forms of divination that are popular even today among allegedly scientific and sophisticated 21st century Americans. Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. Gretchen, When we went to the break, you were going to tell us another story. The subject was the practice of card reading, tarot cards.
Sure. We were talking about card reading and other forms of divination, which are based on the principle that everything in your life is mechanically determined by the material universe. And if we can only discover the key to unlocking that mystery, whether it's through astrology or tarot card reading or palm reading or anything else, somehow then that's going to let you know what your future is. Well, my middle daughter one time was at a New Age fair in San Francisco with my late husband, Bob, and they were sharing the gospel with the various New Agers there. And they got to a booth with a woman who was giving palm readings, and she grabbed my daughter's hand. Oh, I think she was 11 or 12 at the time, and said, "Let me read your palm. I'll tell you about your life. This is your lifeline. It tells how long you will live and when you'll have crises in your life." And my daughter looked at her, and she said, "Is that absolutely for real? Is that the way everything's going to happen in my life?" And she said, "Well, yes." And Karen said, "Well, what if you cut my hand off? Would that mean that I die? Would that change anything?" "Well, no, but you wouldn't want to cut your hand off." And then she said, "Well, if this is going to tell me everything that's determined in my life, why would I want to know that if there's nothing I can do about it?" "Oh, but if you know about it, then you can make allowances and you can change things in your life and you can make things better." Then my daughter said, "Oh, well, then would the lines on my hand change?" "Well, no, but, well, then if I change things and my life doesn't go the way the lines say, then I guess the lines weren't telling the truth, were they? I don't think you have anything to offer me. I think you really should believe in Jesus, because he doesn't do that kind of stuff. He answers our prayers and he changes our lives, and all we have to do is believe in Jesus." You know, she may have been 11 or 12, but she understood. God is the one who is in control of our lives. He is the one who is in charge of human history, and it is only from him that we can gain knowledge. We do that through prayer, through the study of his word, through the influence of godly Christians around us. We don't do it through divination.
Ann is listening in St. Louis. Ann, thank you for waiting.
Oh, thanks for letting me speak. I still remember years ago, back in the day when I used to listen to Focus on the Family, James Dobson talking to some young men that must have played around with a Ouija board and not taking it seriously. The story stuck in my mind because I think their bodies were being thrown around the room and everything where they were goofing around with this thing. And in other words, it just made me think this is not something that's a game or a toy. This is a serious thing to avoid. As bizarre as the story sounds, that's kind of what I heard back then.
Thank you, Ann, very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Gretchen, all sorts of stories like that.
Well, you know, the only place to be safe is in the heart of God. If we moment by moment surrender ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit, if moment by moment we remember that we are not in charge of our lives, but God is, if moment by moment we're trusting in Christ, that God will forgive us of our sins because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, that's the safe place to be. The Apostle Paul said that he had been in all kinds of circumstances in his life. He had been beaten and left for dead. He had been thrown in prison. He had been attacked by robbers. He had been betrayed by supposed believers in Christ. He had had times of plenty, times of wealth, times of esteem, times when everything was going right. But he said that in every case, in every situation, under every circumstance, his safety was not in his outward circumstances, but in his inward faith. That's where we have protection. You're worried about demonic attack? You don't even have to go to a Ouija board. You can be in danger of demonic attack simply from straying away from Christ and his cross. The safety for the Christian is next to the cross.
Carmen in Texas emails us. She says, "I told my husband about this just the other day, shopping for a birthday present for my son. I noticed that Target and Toys R Us were marketing them, that is the Ouija boards, to kids 5 through 8. Should we boycott them? What about watching ghost shows on the Sci-Fi Channel? Is this something Christians should avoid?" First of all, let's take up the boycott question. You think those do any good?
You know, I don't know. In some circumstances, they do. I think that's something every individual has to decide for him or herself. I do think, though, that when there are opportunities to do something encouraging to a company, it probably has a greater effect than doing something discouraging. If I, you know, were real concerned about Ouija boards being for sale in my community, I would go to my community store owner or store manager and complain to them. You'd probably get a better effect on the local level than on the national level. And, of course, anytime there's an opportunity to commend a retailer for doing something, we as Christians ought to do that as well. Sometimes we're better known for complaining than we are for complimenting. Now, going on to the idea of, what are appropriate things and what about television programs that have to do with the supernatural, with ghosts and things like that. I think as adults, we have some greater flexibility in what we're exposed to than we could ever allow for our children or our grandchildren. I have a friend who is a very strong, very committed, very knowledgeable Christian who sometimes watches some of the ghost shows on some of the cable channels, not because she believes it, not because she's vulnerable to it, but because she thinks it's funny. They do absolutely nothing to me. I skip right over them, and I go for Dog the Bounty Hunter or American Pickings or Pawn Star or something like that. Those I'm interested in. I really don't care about the ghost things. But for someone who is spiritually weak or spiritually susceptible, who could be seduced by a program like that into turning his or her eyes away from Jesus and becoming fearful and vulnerable to demonic attack, that kind of program would be entirely inappropriate no matter what your age.
Elaine in Canada says, I don't think you can play around with these boards even if they are painted pink or whatever you are playing around with, the devil and the occult. Your thoughts there?
Well, as I began the program saying, I would no more buy my grandchild a Ouija board than I would a candy cigarette or a plastic imitation hypodermic needle and crack cocaine. The Ouija board stands for a system of divining the future that is contrary to God's will and apart from God's plan. There's no way you can do that just in fun and games, regardless of its demonic or spiritual association. Ouija boards are something that Christians should always stay away from.
Finally, then, when we're looking for answers for our life, whatever that may be, seeking guidance, wondering about the disposition of a lost loved one, all of those kinds of things that drive people sometimes seriously, sometimes only in jest, to things like Ouija boards or the other sources of divination. What does the Bible recommend we do in all these circumstances where we're seeking knowledge or understanding or some kind of insight?
Throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, in the Gospels and in the letters, in the prophets and in the books of Moses, we find the same message that's so clearly expressed in the book of James. If we have any doubt, if we have any questions, if we have any needs, pray to God, turn to God. He will answer our questions according to His will. He will fulfill our desires, our needs, reassure us in our fear, and fulfill us in Christ. Prayer, studying God's Word, surrounding ourselves with Christians who are good role models. These are the paths to true knowledge and true hope for the future. Jesus is the answer to our problems, not any divination.
You'll find a link to Answers in Action under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Gretchen Pasantino is co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California, a regular guest. Gretchen, thank you so much for all you do, and thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thank you. It was very enjoyable, and maybe I'll have to check out The Bachelor.
Oh, last couple weeks. The most interesting weeks, of course. And I hope she still respects me. When we come back from this break, we've got hour 2 of Issues, Etc. We're going to spend part of that hour with Dr. Mark Durie, talking about Islam and the treatment of non-Muslims. Now, the concern here is where Islam holds political sway but cannot by force convert those over whom it has political sway. What does Islam do? What does the Quran and Islamic tradition instruct the Muslim leadership, political leadership, to do? Well, we're watching it happen all over the world. It's a kind of surrender to Islam without becoming a Muslim, living by Islamic tenets, under its laws, without actually converting. It's actually part and parcel of the Islamic worldview. We'll talk about that in the second hour of Issues, Etc. You can join us for that second hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. There are sources of knowledge outside the Word of God, but none of them are sources of true knowledge. Will they sometimes tell the truth in service of a lie? Of course, to deceive. The ultimate goal of the devil is to deceive us, to rob us of faith in Jesus Christ, to turn our eyes, as Gretchen said so well, from Christ to someone, something, someplace else. Will the Bible answer all the questions that you have about your life? Will it tell you what will happen in the future to you? No. Will it give you sure answers to questions that nag you in the middle of the night? No. Does it answer every question it raises? No. Sometimes it raises more than it answers. But it does reveal the one in whom you can trust in spite of not knowing the answers to your many questions. The one who does know those answers and holds not only your future, but you in the palm of his hands, the crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. When we come back, we'll talk Islam on Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 9th. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.